Is there something that you are holding on to right now that keeps you from being the servant of God that you can be? What is it that's holding you back from being fully committed? Think about that. And while you're thinking about that, would you please turn to Mark chapter 12? Mark chapter 12. And I'm going to be starting our reading tonight in verse 41. And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." Think back to all the times that you have put money in the collection plate. Have you ever put in everything that you owned? And don't worry, I'm seeing a little bit of fear on people's faces. I'm not going to be sticking you for money tonight. I have a point to make. I personally have never done that. I've never put in everything that I own. And I would say that, I would think, probably most of us, if not all of us, have ever done that. And why is that? It's because, for the reason mentioned, that's all that we own. That's all that we have. Giving in everything? It's an interesting thing to think about. Typically, we hold something back, right? We give to the Lord, but we have a portion that we save for ourselves. It makes this story so amazing. This widow is so amazing. She puts in everything. If I were in her shoes, if I was sitting there with two coins, you know what I would do? If I decided to give anything, it would only be one. I'd put in one. The other one I'd keep for myself. But the widow didn't. The widow gave both of her coins. That's so hard to think of. It would be so hard to chisel my hands off of that last coin. So I ask you tonight, what is your second coin? What is it that you are holding on to that keeps you from giving everything to God? I think an easy place to start with, because our story kind of naturally leads us there, is material wealth. Our things. How much are you willing to give to the Lord? And again, I'm not really talking about in the collection plate, although you can think about that. How much of your material wealth are you willing to turn over to God? And really, it's a matter of asking yourself the question, how tightly am I holding on to the things that are God's in the first place, the things that God has given me? One of the big themes that we get from Jesus, and especially in the Luke Gospel, is a relinquishing of wealth. Letting go of wealth. But it's not just throwing it in the trash. It's not just taking your wealth and burning it. Think about the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18. The rich young ruler comes up to Jesus, and he has a question for him. And in verse 18, he asks, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus has an answer for him. His answer is, "Do God's commandments." But the rich young ruler isn't satisfied with that. He knows that there's something else. There's something that Jesus is keeping from him. So he continues to ask him, and in the Matthew account, in Matthew 19 and verse 20, he says, "All these things I have kept." He's tried to keep all of God's commandments, but he says, "What am I still lacking?" There's something still missing. And Jesus answers him back in Luke chapter 18 and verse 22, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus asked this man to relinquish what he had and give it to those who did not have. Now, it's easy to look at this and say, now, wait a minute. This is specifically to this man. Wealth was his idol. It was the thing that was stopping him from reaching eternal life, and it was for him to let go of. Yes, that's what we're talking about tonight. That was his second coin. That was the thing that he held on to. That was his idol that he couldn't let go of. But what's shocking to me is looking at the rich young ruler and at myself, I have to ask, is that my idol too? Comparatively to a lot of people, I'm a rich man. It should be very easy to give out of what the Lord has blessed me with to those who don't have anything. But I really don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just influence in the world or what it is, but at heart, I'm a really bad giver. It's really hard to let go of these things. Anytime that I see someone, you know, come up with their hand cupped, it's like the walls come down, the mace comes out. I'm like, stay back. I have nothing for you. And they're like, I just wanted to shake your hand. I don't really understand it. Yes, wealth was the rich young ruler's problem. At some point, we have to look at ourselves and say, is it my problem too? Is that something I need to let go of? It's really hard to make the case that God is not pleased whenever we relinquish of what we have to those who don't. Because Jesus talks about it a lot. He talks about it a lot. And not just Jesus. John the Baptist did too. When he was preparing the way for Jesus, people were coming to be baptized by him. And what he kept telling them was repent. In Luke chapter 3, verse 8, he says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And they asked, what does that mean? What is repentance? What does it mean to bear fruits that show that we're repentant? And one of the things that the first thing that Jesus says, John the Baptist says in Luke chapter 3, verse 11, the man who has two tunics to share is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise. Now, this example, John doesn't say to give everything up, right? He says, he who has extra, give with him who doesn't have anything. But either the case, giving up everything, giving up a little bit, how hard is it to let go of it? Luke is a very, very convicting book when it comes to the subject of giving and giving of wealth. It really is. So if I'm allowed to give out any homework, I would really encourage you to just binge read the book of Luke. I love reading about the church in the first century because they didn't have a giving problem. The first church did not have a giving problem. If you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone might have need. That's such a beautiful picture. I love reading about the first century church. They were all in. They weren't holding on to that coin of wealth that was keeping them from being completely devoted. And I love passages like this because they don't just tell us the encouraging us to let go of that coin, but they also just paint this picture of how freeing that is. How amazing that is. Now, if if wealth isn't the coin that's hard to give up, let me ask you about another one. How much do you value your time? How hard is it to give time to the Lord? We know the ideal, right? The Romans 12 ideal. Romans 12 and verse 1. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Or 1 Thessalonians 5 ideal. 5:16 and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That's the ideal, right? Everything to God. Completely devoted all of my time 24/7 to the Lord. But do we think that that's a silly thing sometimes? Or do we think that it's impossible? Do we even try? This is unfortunately, it's a very, very soft spot for myself because I am very, very, very jealous of my time. And really, I think it's a heart issue because I view it as my time. Going back in Mark chapter 12, a little bit earlier in the chapter, in verse 13, we have a conversation between Jesus, the Herodians, and the Pharisees. And they have a question for Jesus. They ask him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Hoping that they can trap him in whatever answer that he gives them. And he gives them the perfect answer in Mark chapter 12, verse 15. Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at. And they brought one. And he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Notice, I find this interesting, that Jesus doesn't just say, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and then end it there. Because he could have. That's a good answer. He could have just left it there, but he doesn't. He says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. I hold on to what I view as my time so dearly. I hold on to it. I protect it. I guard it. I put it behind barbed wire. I have armed guards in front of it and two giant pit bulls. And I will not take it out unless it is for something that I really want to do. And if I don't really want to do it, I'm going to make it very obvious how much of a chore it was to take it out. But the truth of the matter is, I am a creation of God. I am His. He made me. He made me who I am. And not only that, I've put on the title of His child through my baptism. I am in every way God's. I am His possession. We need to render to Caesar what's Caesar's and render to God what is God's. I am God's. It is not my time, it's His time. And I need to give it to Him as such. And I do mean spiritual things, the things that we usually think of, but I think in other ways as well. We do need to be in the Word. We do need to be in the Word, trying to know God, trying to become closer to Him, to know what He wants from us. We need to be praying, staying in contact with Him. And we need to be here. We need to be with each other. We need to be here every time the doors are open, giving each other encouragement. But we also can be spending His time doing the good works that He has made for us, like it says in Ephesians 2:10. We can be spending His time with the families that He's given us. We can spend His time teaching our children diligently who He is and what He desires, like it says in Deuteronomy 6. We can spend His time instructing our children, raising them in the teaching and admonition of the Lord, like in Ephesians 6:4 says. We can spend His time with our spouses, with our loved ones, with our flesh, helping encourage them so they can get to heaven. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We need to spend His time with each other, encouraging each other, giving each other strength to be the servants of God that He wants us to be, encouraging each other to let go of that other coin. And we need to spend His time working on growing His kingdom. Like in Mark 16:15, go into the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. We need to spend His time doing the things that He desires. And if after we list all of these things, if we look at it and say, "But where is all the time for me?" And it's easy to see what our second coin is, isn't it? So I asked you in the beginning, what is it that you are holding on to? What is it that you are holding on to that's keeping you from being devoted? I've only given you a couple of examples, because really there can be a lot of things that we're holding on to that we just can't let go of. And you have to ask that for yourself. And I would encourage you to do that. Find out what it is. What is it that is keeping you from being fully 100% devoted? Remember, I think it'll be easy to spot, because the widow only had two small coins worth hardly anything. Said they were worth a lot to her. And it's the things that are the hardest to let go of that we probably should be. It's a scary thing, though. Scary thing to do. I couldn't imagine being in her shoes. Can you imagine giving everything, like monetarily just giving everything? That's so terrifying. I take comfort in the fact that we are not alone. We truly aren't. I talk about it a lot because I love the idea. We are a family. We are a body. We are in this together. And I hope you feel that way. I hope you don't feel like I'm just talking at you, that this is just a sermon and that I don't mean what I say. I love you. We are in this together. We are a family. And that is so exciting. It's so exciting to read the account that we did about the first century church, because we are still that. I know it may sound different. You may think that it's different, but it's not. It just all depends about how much we're willing to put into it. And I also love the fact that we are not alone. Just in the same way the widow was not alone. She thought that she was by herself. She thought that she was just a face in a crowd and that nobody was watching her, but somebody was, right? The Lord had His eye on her the entire time. And we do too. What is your second coin? What is it that you're not letting go of? I encourage you to find out what it is. Give it to the Lord. The reward will be unimaginable. If you need anything, if you need to be baptized tonight, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.